Okay, so we're doing Erev Tav Shilin. And the basic idea, okay, fine. So the question is that in Erev Tav Shilin, so the idea is you're placing your food on Erev Yontif, you're putting aside food for Shabbos. And we said it's a Meichel Shel Shabbos. You're putting aside your Shabbos food. And then, given that you have Meichel Shel Shabbos already put aside from Erev Yontif, so then on Yontif, you could add to that Meichel Shel Shabbos. You could continue to cook for Shabbos on Yontif. Okay? But your permit to cook is that you already have this food, which is designated as your Shabbos food. Okay? And you place that food and you set it up on Erev Yontif. Okay, now the question now is, what types of food items suffice for this Erev Tav Shilin? And particularly, we have Tazayin Amar Aleph, Tini. Last word in line, six lines from the bottom. Seven lines from the bottom. Tini Ruchia, Adashim Shebishu Lekedera. So lentils, which are on the base, the bottom of the pot. So much Lemish Erev Tav Shilin. You could rely on them for Erev Tav Shilin. The Hanei Mila Disbu Gezayas. That's if there's a Gezayas worth of them. Rashi. So basically, you make lentils, and at the end, you have some leftover lentils by accident. It's not like you purposely leave some to be sitting there. It's like the bottom of the pot, mamish. Right? If you're leaving over for tomorrow, then you have a good quantity or whatever, then that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about after you take everything out, it turns out there are lentils on the bottom. Okay? So the saying is, Somech aleihem me'erev yontif l'shem erev. You have a right to, on Erev Yontif, to rely on them to be your Erev. For lo amrinan, and you don't say, lo chashivi uvatli. You don't say that they're not chashiv, and therefore they're batal. Okay, you don't say that. Rather, they're fine. And you could use them for Erev Tav Shilin. Okay, as long as you have a gezayis. Because that's a general principle in Erev Tav Shilin, you need a gezayis. Okay, so, you know, it's funny how I mean, but why would I think not? You always need a gezayis. But whatever. Apparently, practically speaking, in general, you're not going to be able to use these lentils because how are you usually not going to have a gezayis? So what I'm saying is make sure, even though you're allowed to use these things, that you still got to get the shear. You're going to have a gezayis. Okay? Fine. Yeah. Good question. What's the question about being chashuv? I mean, why would I say it has to be chashuv? Lo chashivi u batli. It's funny. Are those two different things? Lo chashivi u batli. I mean, they're not chashuv. And therefore, it seems like, and therefore, they're batal. So the chashuv would say on the surface, it says that they're batal. What does that mean, they're batal? Right, it's a good question. What does that mean, they're batal? Like batal v'shishim?
Right.
They're not batal. What does that even mean, they're batal? In what framework are they batal? What does that even mean? They're not chashuv, I understand, a little bit. They're not chashuv. Who cares about chashuv altogether? Why is that relevant here? But whatever. At least it makes sense. What does it mean, ubatli? Batal to what? To the pot? Part of the pot? I mean, what's the idea here? So basically we have Hamin Maskana, right? Hamin Maskana. Right, that's it. And the facts. Right on the surface, you'd say, why not? Why can't they use Erev Tav Shilin? I mean, they're lentils. Right? They're lentils. The exact worth of lentils. So, what I'm saying is, these are my Erev Tav Shilin. Right? So who cares? Who cares that they were about my pot and I forgot about them and whatever? I mean, whatever. Bottom line is, they're lentils. What's wrong with lentils? Right? I mean, they may even taste good. Right? I mean, what's the difference? Pot of below miskavim, because what it means is that you have a big pot. So you could say is, okay, I'm going to take half of the lentils for today and half of them for tomorrow. Right? And then you're basically leaving over the other half for tomorrow. So those are tomorrow's lentils. These are today's lentils. Then there's another scenario where you say, I'm going to eat all the lentils today. And you take them all out. And then it turns out, unintentionally, they're lentils still at the bottom. Right? Lentils still at the bottom. So that's what I mean. That's the case we're talking about. Not where you intentionally left over half the lentils. But in case where you know you didn't leave over half the lentils. You were taking all the lentils. And it turns out, by accident, you know, unintentionally, you left some. Really? Just pshah. Okay, so I'm thinking like this. I think it's similar to what you guys are saying. Maybe like Chasmon to Chaim was saying, someone to Yura. I'm not sure. There are a lot of similar thoughts here, right? So maybe the question is, see, the issue is it has to be Meichel Shel Shabbos.
And it's like the other Erev. It's your Shabbos food. It's set aside as your Meichel Shal Shabbos. Okay? Now, the thing is, that's why it has to have a certain chashivas. Right? After a certain chashivas, there's an ocha. Now, there's an idea of, like, in this case, like, where it's the leftovers at the bottom of the pot. So, socially, I'm not sure if socially is the right word, but the people relate to that as being, like, the leftovers. They relate to it as, like, a negative. It's like you've kind of, so to speak, passed it over, and it's just like the stuff at the bottom of the pot. Right? It's the stuff that it wasn't really, it was like you took what you wanted, and that was just like what was leftover. So psychologically, the way people relate to that is being like the, you know, like a guy, that guy scrapes the bottom of the pot. Like that's, you know, they say, like a guy who's really garbage. Like, what?
It's really like garbage.
Yeah, it's like garbage in a certain sense, right? It's like a garbage. And the guy who eats that is a guy who's really like a pig, or a guy who's really like desperate, or is really poor, maybe, or is really, you know, but psychologically, it's like once that was bypassed, it's like it's related to by people as being like a certain stigma, so to speak, or a certain negative quality to it, right? Even though, if you, so to speak, isolate, pull them out of the pot, as a physical, the physical, the lentils, you may not even know the difference. They're the same thing, they're lentils, because that's what lentils. So maybe that's the question, is like, does the psychological stigma, so to speak, on these lentils prevent it from being defined as Meichel Shel Shabbos? Or do we say that you simply measure its chashivos merely based upon like the culinary properties of the thing, and you don't include the psychological way a person relates to it? Because if in terms of the culinary properties of things are lentils and there's a gazayas and they're chashuv, they're good food, so that's fine. The fact that people relate to it as being garbage psychologically is not relevant. The Erev Tashilin, so to speak, just registers is the physical chafza that's being placed for the Erev Tashilin. It doesn't register the context, right? That's what you're saying, the context. The larger scope in which the chafza exists and its associations and all that stuff doesn't register in terms of the entity of the Erev. But the Erev is a physical object of food, and if the physical object of food has the properties of chashivas, which lends itself to Meichel Shel Shabbos, then that's sufficient. Even if a guy maybe wouldn't use that for Shabbos, right? Even if psychologically a person wouldn't use that for a wedding or for something fancy or whatever, because it's not actually using the thing for Shabbos. It just has to have a status of a Meichel Shel Shabbos vis-a-vis Erev, and vis-a-vis Erev is just a physical object that's sitting on your table. So it doesn't take into account the whole the larger picture of the way the person relates to it psychologically. That's what it's teaching you, is that you simply measure it by the physical properties of the thing. And that's why it has a gazayas. If it doesn't have a gazayas, then it really is a garbage. You know, but here it has a gazayas, so there's no difference in this and any other lentils, physically. So what's next? Whoops, wrong button. What's going on here? Oh, okay, we're good. I can see arguing leftovers in the bottom of the pot is different than leftovers from your meal. Because leftovers from your meal, you've put it on your table and you are machshev it as being significant food. Now, you didn't finish it all, so now you can eat it the next day. So look, it's true, it's the second time the thing is being used, but it's given the chashivas of food. But when it's at the bottom of the pot and you bypass it, it, so to speak, didn't make the first cut. It didn't even become, like, you've left it as the bottom of the pot. It's become basically a part of the pot. Like, there, and it's kind of looking at it. It's like basically it's part of the pot. And when you took your food, you left this to be their non-food. You know, so it could be as simple as butli. It means it's like you didn't even relate to it as an ochel. When you decided to take the food out of the pot, this became part of the pot and your food became the food. So it's like it became left as garbage. It was the waste. You know, then after you say, oh, look at that, and that's why a poor person would scrounge for that, you know. But leftovers is a different thing. It's like it's a second meal that it's for. But that's, look, nowadays we have this thing, leftovers, and we're, you know, we're fancy and all that, and even so, we still eat leftovers. Leftovers, but it's given the chashivas of an ochal, and you just didn't finish it. So it's true, a king doesn't eat any leftovers. But that's not the same thing as a poor person eats from the bottom of the pot. You know? A regular person will eat leftovers, but he's not necessarily going to scrape the bottom of the pot. So it could be that's why, specifically, it's asked in the case of, you know, the bottom of the pot. That's more this than, you know, than leftovers.
The next case is like this. Similar type of case, but a little worse. Remember, it's like a brother of Yehuda. Shamnunis, you ready? You guys have a good appetite now? Shamnunis shal gabe hasakin. The fat that is on the knife, the blade of the knife. Goruro, v'somech lev mishamev tashilon. You could scrape it off and rely on it for tashilon. V'animil disbu kizayas. You have anxiety to that fat.
Aren't you?
It's pretty serious, right?
Aren't you supposed to?
You wonder how big the knife was and how fatty this meat is, right?
Aren't you supposed to?
And how clean they used to make their knives.
Aren't you supposed to eat your ear of tashilon?
You could eat it after you scrape it off. Rashi. Erev Yontif. Erev Yontif. Yeah, Rashi. Just go to Erev Yontif. You have to set it aside on Erev Yontif. So on Erev Yontif, you scrape off all the fat on your knife. You make it a good big fat ball. Kazaya size. And you put it aside as your Erev Tavshilin. And there you go. Yum yum. Okay? So the question is, how many else kind of way that works? Pretty good, huh? I think the thing is, like, fat is a food. People eat fat.
Yeah.
Chicken fat, meat fat. But I don't think they ordinarily made their meals out of knives. They didn't scrape the stuff. I don't think that was like the ordinary custom, is like, yeah, that's their meal. But I mean, it's fat. It is fat. It's just that it's on the knife. It's basically really garbage on the knife. And you're making it into, you're scraping it off and putting it aside for the shilin. But now it's fat. So, I mean, that's what you have to figure out. Right? Okay, let's get the next case. Okay, we'll work on this for overnight, but let's get the next case. So it's like this. Amarav Asi Amarav. I didn't tell you about this, right? Dagim Ketanim Aluchim Ein Bahem Mishum Mishulein Achim. So if you have salted fish, small little salted fish, so that's not bishalakam. Okay? So, Rashi. So the Gachom made a gzera about eating food which is cooked by Goyim because he'll intermarriage. And on something which is edible, raw, lo gozru al bishula. So then there's no halacha, there's no gzera about it. The kivan shenechel k'moshu chay ain't obishal, because since it was edible raw, that's not considered cooking. The lo ahani midi, because it didn't benefit the thing; it was already edible. The elu neecholim al yedei malchum chayin, and these things, since they went, they're salted, so they're edible, raw, right? So now, if the guy cooks them, that's not going to be bishalakum, right? Because he's simply the thing was already edible. So he's saying that's not defined as a mevushal.
Salted dry fish.
Yeah. Amar of Yosef, but if the guy cooks them, the same fish, you could use it for Erev Toshilin. Right? You could use it for Erev Toshilin. So you could use it. So even though it's not defined as Bishal Akam, right? It's not a food, it's not Bishal vis-a-vis Bishal Akam, right? But vis-a-vis Erev Tavshilin, it is. And you're allowed to use it. Okay, and you're allowed to use it. So, so I guess the question is, what's the Tavim and what's the Maskana? I think there's a Rashba here. Yeah. There's a Rashba here. I don't know if he just explains Pshat or he gives a little. You can look at the Rashba. But the question, apparently there's a Tavim and Maskana here. Whether or not, if you cook these fish, do you say that just like, I guess, just like by vis-a-vis Bishal Akam, you say they're not a Bishal, they're not a Tavshil, so too is Erev Tavshil, and they're not a Tavshil? You can't use them? Or you say, no, they're different. Just because it's not Bishal Akam, still, vis-a-vis this, vis-a-vis Erev Tavshil, it's sufficient, then you're allowed to use it. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so that's another thing to work on. Okay?